to say a sincere thank you to all of those that helped and any part of the service in our absence. We very much appreciate the opportunity to go and get away for a while, and we are refreshed, and we got an opportunity to relax and kick back. And so I want to especially thank Brother White, Brother Kellum for taking the music, Brother Tom, Sister Day, thank you very much for stepping in, and I know we didn't skip a beat. I heard such great reports about everything that transpired, and so we thank you for that. And I just want to say a sincere thank you from our heart. I do see many of you fanning and some of you checking the ACs. It is my mistake. When I pre-programmed the thermostats, I didn't program them to come on early enough this morning, so they were still trying to get it cool. And so I have since fixed that, hopefully. And so in the future, you won't have to fan, and hopefully when you come in, it'll be nice and cool, and you won't have to worry about that. So it's something new that we're doing. We've got programmable thermostats. Hopefully that way we're not failing to shut them off or turn them on, and they're doing it automatically. So hopefully it will work, and once we get the kinks out, you won't have to do this anymore. I do want to say happy Father's Day to all fathers in attendance here this morning. And that's right, it's proper. Special day for two people. They're not here this morning, but the Salters family and the Casputis family. I don't know if all of you know this yet, but just this last week, Joseph Scott Salters was born to Tamara and Jeremy Salters. And then yesterday, early in the morning, born to Brother Brian, Sister Shannon Casputis, little Levi Jameson Casputis. And so we got two new members of the FAC family. And I'm sure that you will be seeing them around here soon enough. I would say this, I know how it was for me and for my family when we had Austin. And of course, we had him, and he was half the size of Levi. But when you're dealing with newborns, I would ask you this as a courtesy, as pastor, make sure they offer, if hold the baby, that sort of stuff. Just kind of, many of you know babies as they're growing and their immune system. And I know you want to cuddle them, you want to hold them, you want to kiss them, you want to do all those things. But sometimes, especially with new parents, they may not be so comfortable with that. So just keep that in mind, and there'll be plenty of time to express that affection, that time, and I'm sure that they will extend the offer at various points in time. But I just ask you, as a professional courtesy and as pastor, just keep that in mind with the little ones. And I know that they would appreciate that. And just we're so looking forward to seeing these, especially for me, for Brother and Sister Casputis and little Levi, and just seeing how that happens, if you will. And so we're just thankful for that. We will take time at the end of service this morning to acknowledge and honor our fathers, and have a small gift for all the fathers that are in attendance this morning. One other thing just to make you aware of, as we do on Mother's Day, so do we on Father's Day. So there will not be a PM service here tonight. We encourage you to spend time with your family. Some of you have to travel to be with fathers or to spend time with family. And so we will not have a PM service here tonight. Earlier, as my wife was saying and speaking, I thought I should have just let her preach this morning. That would have been fine with me. That would have been a Father's Day gift all in of itself, just let my wife preach. Maybe next year. I mean, I have to preach on Mother's Day, right? I was thinking this morning, you know, it's Father's Day is one of those times you have to be careful, because sometimes you have an automatic reply when people say something to you. You know, you'll say like, you too. And when people, this morning I had to catch myself a couple times because people look at me and say, Happy Father's Day. And I wanted to say, you too. And then I realized, wait a second, they're not even a male. So that won't work. But it is good to be back home. I look forward to filling this pulpit here this morning and preaching. And if you have your Bibles and you'd be so kind to stand. To remind you, one other thing coming up here next month, hard to believe we are almost to July. Time flies when you're having fun, huh? We have our annual church picnic, Time Together. at our residence on July the 5th. And that's be a time where we come together and bring food and have fellowship. And those that want to stay and watch the fireworks, there'll be activities and games and all those things that we do on that day. We will have a regular service Sunday morning and then a meeting sometime around 5 o'clock in the afternoon for the evening together and then watching the fireworks. That is happening on July the 5th. And as we probably next week, you'll find more information about that. We're going to need your help in setup and organization and making sure everything happens the way it should. And we're also going to need you to bring some food. Otherwise, we're all going to be hungry. And church is going to provide the meat as we do, but we'll need side dishes and desserts from families here among us. If you have your Bibles and you'd be so kind, Luke chapter number 11. Begin reading in verse number 11. Communication difficulties. There was another thing that I neglected to put on the newsletter and to announce, and my wife just reminded me of it, but I realize I don't know any of the specifics, so I'm going to let her announce it.
Okay. Sister Grimm's birthday is next Saturday. Her daughter is throwing a party. It is not a surprise. The details are a surprise, so no, I'm not ruining it. I promise. I do filter sometimes. It is June 27th, and it's at 4 o'clock in the church basement. If you're on Facebook, a lot of you may have gotten some event posted from Jessica Romero, if you're friends with her. So just RSVP. If not, just tell me you're coming, and I can let her know, okay? And I'll get anything else that she would need from us. So this coming Saturday, the 27th, at 4.
Can we tell them what it is? I don't know who said that, but I'll let you deal with them later. The big 5-0. Sister Grimm is turning a half a century old. Her birthday is Thursday, and we are celebrating it on Saturday. So make sure if you remember on Thursday, send her a nice little text telling her happy half a century. Luke chapter number 11, begin reading in verse number 11. It says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give for a fish, give him a serpent? If he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? Everybody say, how much more? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Jesus said this, and He poses the question, the relationship, father and a child. He says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, those of you that have the relationship, those of you that understand the father-child relationship, if any of your children come to you and ask for bread, are you going to give the child a stone? If a child comes to you and asks for a fish, are you going to give the child a serpent? If a child comes to you as a father and asks for an egg, are you going to give the child a scorpion? Obviously, the answer to all of those questions is somewhat rhetorical, no. Then he says, then, if you then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? I want to preach to you upon those three little words. How much more? How much more? Can we pray? Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house, to lift you up, to magnify your name that is above every name, to give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. We thank you, God, that we have the Spirit of Christ within us by which we cry, Abba, Father. Lord, we thank you that we understand the relationship, that you are the Father to the fatherless, God, that you are the one we can look to and understand. And Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds to receive your word this morning, God, that we would look at the relationship of a father and a child and understand in the correct way, God, how you use it, God, to help us and reveal unto us your relationship unto us. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it and believe it to be done. And everybody said, amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. How much more? It's often been stated, it is true, that God reveals his ways through what we can relate to and what we can understand. These relationships that we can observe or even have, these, when they are understood correctly, these relationships give revelation concerning how God deals with us. God throughout the Bible is revealing himself and in relational ways, things that you and I can relate to, things that you and I understand, so that we can understand in some sense, not completely, but in some sense we can understand the way in which God deals with us. We can understand the relationship that we have with God. This is why the enemy is so concerned with confusing relationships. Furthermore, society will often aid the adversary in distorting and confusing things such as gender distinction, sexual orientation, the definition of marriage, parenting roles, etc. The enemy understands that the more he can blur these lines, the more that he can take these relationships and the more that he can take those roles and those distinctions and distort them and confuse them, the harder it is for you and I to understand the way in which God works. The more blurred we allow these lines to become, the less we are able to understand about God and his relationship to us. That's why we need to understand we are not just fighting for the sanctity of marriage or against an alternate lifestyle. We are fighting for something much bigger. We are fighting for the roles and relationships that reveal the very God who created us. I'm going to say that again because it bears repeating. We are not just fighting for the sanctity of marriage or against alternate lifestyles. We are fighting for something that is much bigger. We are fighting for the roles and relationships that reveal the very God who created us. That's why it is important. That's why it is something that we should stand fast concerning. That is why it is something that we should not waver on. We shouldn't give any quarter to it. Why? Because those things reveal God. God throughout Scripture uses the roles that when we correctly understand them, reveal how God works with us. And as society seeks to confuse those roles, and as society seeks to distort and make those roles something than what God intended them to be, as a result, we as society lose sight of God. Plan to go this far here, but I just feel I need to. That's why it is important that we understand the depravity of this world and how far society is going in the way that they are allowing things to come in and tear apart fundamental and foundational truths that have been a part of a family for centuries. Because those things reveal God. Those things help us understand God and his relationship to us. One of the roles constantly under attack, a relationship that has been revealing for some time now, if you will, is none other than the role of a father. Listen, I could provide the statistics validating how important a father role is, but for us, it should suffice just knowing that the father role is the role most defined in Scripture in God's relation to us. I don't need any other example. I don't need any other statistic. But me as a Bible-believing Christian can understand one of the reasons why the father role is so important is because it's one of the ways, the most frequent way that God uses to reveal his relationship to us. Might I say it this way for some of the old-timers in the congregation? Even from a purely secular standpoint, we would do well to go back in time, say to the 50s and the 60s, and resurrect a role that was left to Beaver's dad, Ward Cleaver. A role that was played by Jim Anderson in Father Knows Best. What are you saying? Simply this. At what point do we realize how far we have come is actually how far we have come away from what stabilizes and strengthens society? I understand that I'm preaching to a mixed congregation. I understand that there are females and there are males. I understand that there are mothers that have to play the father role. I get that. But we need to understand it is God's design, that God designed the family as a unit, a husband and a wife, and that God's intent that the father play the father role and the mother play the mother role, and that together they form a unit that parents children and trains them up in the way they should go. It's God's design. It's God's intent. I've said it before. I'll say it again. The statistics speak for themselves. And if you want to take the time to look into them, I encourage you to do so. How the probability of drug addiction, incarceration, participation in criminal activity, children born out of wedlock, they all increase substantially when there is no father in the picture. Why it is so important. It may be a broken home. It may be a situation that is less than desirable, but I need to understand there is a role that represents the role of God to me that I better play, and not just play it, not just step on the stage at certain scenes in life, but live it every day of my life, day in and day out. Why? Because I represent a great role of my father. Song of Phillips Craig and Dean, I want to be just like you, because he wants to be just like me. I want to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. I want to be a living Bible, Lord, so my little boy can see. I want to be just like you, because he wants to be like me. We look at society and we look at those, and I understand there have some that have been able to break the cycle. There have some that though they grew up without a father role in their life or a correct father role in their life, they have been able to step outside of the cycle. But I would say this, it's only through a relationship with the ultimate father that I ever have a chance of being the father that I need to be. See, but I say this, if just having a father in the picture helps so substantially, how much more? Help happens when the father in the picture correctly lives the role of a father. I'm not saying it's played to perfection. I failed. You'll fail. But guess what? I want to go back to the Word and say, how can I do things different from here on out? How can I not make the same mistakes again? Why? Because I want to be an example to those that are coming up after me. I want to be a father figure. See, in this parable, Jesus begins and he presents the role of a father and a son. He says there, it's a son, there's a child that comes to a father and asks bread. Jesus said, this happens if a child, and I know he referenced the son, but I believe it does not change the parable at all. If Jesus would have said a daughter. He says, the child comes to the father and asks bread. He says, which of you fathers would give your child a stone child comes and asks for fish, which of you fathers is going to give your child a serpent? If your child comes and asks of you an egg, which one of you fathers are going to give your child a scorpion? I thought about this and I began to look into it a little bit further and I wondered why Jesus would say these three things. Why a bread in comparison to stone, and why a fish in comparison to a serpent, and why an egg in comparison to a scorpion. As I begin to look a little further, I begin to realize that maybe on the surface and maybe from a distance and maybe without close inspection, you might confuse them. What do you mean? I don't know, have you ever seen pictures of bread that was made back in Bible times? Kind of looks like a rock. Maybe you haven't seen them, but I've seen fish that look like snakes. Vice versa. It's just... And then I thought, well, that can't be possible with an egg and a scorpion. How does that parallel? I can understand the fish and the bread. And I can get the fish and the serpent, the bread and the stone. I can get that, but an egg and a scorpion? Then I began to do a little research, and I began to look that there were five main scorpions that were there in Palestine in the area that Jesus was, and there was one that it was even termed and even had a nickname called the egg scorpion. It was white in color, and when it was balled up, it was often mistaken for a small egg. To myself, Jesus is showing that the heart of a father is careful to make the distinction. Which of you fathers, if your child comes asking for bread, are you going to give him a stone? No, you're going to take the time to make sure that what you're giving the child is what the child has requested. You're not going to give the child a piece of bread thinking it's a rock, or a piece of bread and think it's bread, but it really be a rock, and then watch as a child breaks a tooth. You're not just going to casually reach out and hope it's a fish that you grab, but then look, and all of a sudden you gave it a snake. You're going to be careful about the distinction. You're going to be careful with that little white thing that is balled up. You're going to make sure that it doesn't have a tail with a stinger on the end of it that could possibly hurt the child. You're going to be careful in the distinction. See, the heart of a father, how much more will a father take the time to make a father playing the correct role of a father? How much will a father make sure that what is being given and what is being provided unto the child? You see, all three things represent bread, fish, and egg. All three things represent hunger. Bread, fish, egg. Something that is needful and helpful, but all the comparisons are something that is could be harmful. Stone, serpent, scorpion. Jesus is saying even an earthly father is going to take the time to make the distinction and make sure that what he is giving unto the child that has requested is not hurtful, but it's needful. Catch this. If that is the case with us in an earthly sense, how much more shall our Heavenly Father, those things that He has given unto us. That's why James said, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights. Catch this, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, when He gives the gift, He knows exactly that it meets the need. I've explained it this way before. When the Bible uses the word and, it's often in its meaning is even. In other words, every good gift, even perfect gift, cometh down from above. See, there's a difference between what is good and what is perfect. Catch this. I could, if I had the wherewithal and money in the bank, I could buy for Kinsley a Corvette. That would be a good gift. It wouldn't be a perfect gift. Why? She doesn't know how to drive.
Matter of fact, it could be something that on the surface may seem like a good gift, but if I just gave her a Corvette and the keys and said, have fun, honey, quite possibly hurt herself and others. Catch this, because I'm about to preach where we live. You got to be careful, because often in our request to the Father, we ask amiss. And the reason why we ask amiss is because we're asking for a Corvette and we haven't learned how to ride the bike with training wheels yet. I'm going to say that again. Oftentimes in our relationship with the Father, we ask amiss because He's only going to give it if it's good, even perfect, if it's what we have need of. That's why Jesus said, if you ask in my name, that doesn't mean, oh, in the name of Jesus. No, in the understanding that it is in my will and it is what is needful unto you, then it's going to happen because He's the type of Father. How much more if an earthly father is going to make the distinction between bread and stone and fish and serpent, or fish and serpent and egg and scorpion? How much more shall your heavenly Father make sure that what He's given unto you is exactly what you need for the situation? Situation. It may not be what I want. It may not be good to me, but I can guarantee you it's good for me. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. When He gives it, when He provides it, guess what? It is exactly what I need. The Bible says He knows what we have need of before we even ask it. If we understanding the earthly role of a father who will give and provide and make the distinction, if we as those individuals who understand a correct role and relationship father to a child, if we understand that God is revealing how He works in relation to an earthly relationship of a father and a child, but He says, how much more? How much more shall your heavenly Father? My wife didn't really know where I was going when she made a statement earlier, but she gave me one of the highest compliments. She talked about how that I found joy in seeing my children smile. How that as a father, I've said it many times, I find no greater fulfillment in my life than being a father to Austin and Kinsley and Lynn. I love being a father. I am full in the satisfaction of my children. And if I'm that way, how much more shall your heavenly Father? I know I often reference kids' movies. That's because I have three of them. Three kids, not three kids' movies. We have a lot more than three kids' movies. There's a scene in a kid's film called The Croods. I've referenced it before. It's a scene where this family, this cave-dwelling family, it's depicted back in, you know, dinosaur days and all that fun stuff. But the family is searching for food and they find this egg, and so there's this long race, if you will, between the family and the animal they got the egg from, trying to get the egg back. Another animal comes in the scene, and there's this fighting, there's this juggling, and there's this throwing of the egg back and forth, and the family is jostling back and forth and trying to keep the egg because it's food and it's going to provide for them, and they finally get it, and it rolls and it cracks. Family gets their share, and finally they give it to the dad. He's there and he holds the big old egg above him and one tiny drop drips. Drips on his tongue. They all have eaten. They've all taken a share and they look at Dad and he's got a big old smile. He just got a little drop on his tongue and the family looks at him like, oh my goodness, he's going to be upset. And then he makes this statement. He says, it's okay. I ate last week. I thought to myself, wow. I realized that even in that children's film, it's depicting that a Father is full at the satisfaction of his children. He looked around at their faces and they had eaten and they were okay. And so it really didn't matter to him that he just got a little drop. It's okay, I ate last week. If that role and that relationship I find in an earthly sense where a father is full at the satisfaction of his children, how much more is our heavenly Father full at the satisfaction of our... It's no wonder why we as parents, it's no wonder that when we find our child that not just hungering in a natural sense or in a food sense, but we find a hunger for something. Maybe it's a sport, or maybe it's an activity, or maybe it's a hobby. How that we as a parent want to provide, want to make sure that child is able to do that, to have fun and participate in that. Why? Because there's satisfaction. It is not that I'm living vicariously through my children. It's the fact that their satisfaction fills me. That role of a father in an earthly sense, how much more in a heavenly sense? See, how many of you fathers, I don't know about you, but I don't do good when one of my kids are sick. I don't sleep well when they're coughing in the night. It's that way for me as an earth. How much more shall your heavenly Father? God is not content with his children being sick, depressed. God is not content. How much more, if you think for one moment that God finds any satisfaction in our hurting and in our suffering? No, we need to understand that God, as our heavenly Father, how much more does he long and desire to heal and to help and to deliver and to raise up and to strengthen? How much more shall your heavenly Father? See, goes on to say, how much more does your heavenly Father want to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You see, there is one thing that we need above all others. There's one gift that exceeds any other gift that can be given. It's the gift of the Holy Ghost. It is the gift of his Spirit inside of us, empowering us, giving us the ability not only to recognize and understand and see the role and the relationship of our Father to us, but our relationship and our responsibilities and our roles into other people's lives, that we have an opportunity. He is the Father to the fatherless. And there are times when we as individuals have an opportunity to be a father figure to others who are fatherless, to be a help and a strength to spread love and cheer and help to other individuals who don't experience in their own life, because their father is missing in their life. We have an opportunity through the power of the Holy Ghost to do and be just like God does and is to us. Do not for one moment let the enemy convince you that God is stingy, God is selfish, and that God is self-consumed, and that you have to earn what God freely gives. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? I'm going to tell you what it begins with. It begins with the hunger, like the child that comes to the Father and says, I want some bread, I want some fish, or I want an egg. And if you come to the heavenly Father with hunger, you need to understand, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. There's not a father correctly living the father role would ever want to see their child sick, addicted, suffering, oppressed, destitute, happy, unfulfilled, unsatisfied. It's not an earthly father that correctly living the role of a father want to see any of those things in his children. If we being evil can understand that, if we being evil can somehow wrap our brain around that reality, it's not really all that difficult. It's not really all that hard to understand. As a father, I want the very best for my children. And I know sometimes the best is needed correction. Sometimes the best is saying no. Because it's not what you need. If we being evil can understand that, how much more can we understand that our Heavenly Father, He plays the role to absolute perfection. Every gift that He gives, it's good, even perfect. Coming down from above. You need to know here this morning, no matter what you've come into this place with, whether it's a sickness, whether it's an addiction, depression, whatever it is that you've come in here with, you need to know how much more your Heavenly Father desires that you don't leave here with it. How much more He wants to heal you. How much more He wants to deliver you. How much more He wants to redeem you. How much more He desires to save you. I've learned a lot about my God and my relationship to my children. Morning as I lay in bed, my wife went upstairs and resurrected the monsters. I heard them come pounding down the stairs and couldn't help a smile creep across my face because I realized what was happening, and then they all ran into the room and piled upon the bed. Happy Father's Day! And said, I love you, Dad. Such joy, such satisfaction. How much I want to be everything I can be to them, to provide everything they need, to give them what they should have. And if I can understand that in relationship to my own children, how much more? How much more shall a Heavenly Father give? Can we just take a few moments and lift our hands? Thank you, Jesus. Maybe you don't have a great example for a father in your life. Maybe the relationship was strained, or maybe he departed from this life too soon, or maybe he decided to take another course in life. I don't know, but you need to understand that there is a perfect father. There is a father to the fatherless. There is one who desires to give you what you have need of, to provide every good gift and even perfect gift. How much more? And on this Father's Day, can we lift our hands and can we take a few moments and acknowledge the greatest Father of all? Let the Spirit of Christ rise within us, by which we cry, Abba, Father, or Father, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Children's department has got something they would like to do on this special day, and we're going to turn over to Sister Connie and Sister Robin at this time. I was just thinking, this is when it pays to have multiple children, because I'm going to get like 9 cookies. Woohoo! I just out of curiosity, find out what father among us has the most children, grandchildren, that would be like the father that's greatest in number. Brother White, how many children, grandchildren total do you have? Too many. I can't ask you on this spur of the moment like that. You have to count them up. Okay. So that's 18, right? Did I do the math right? 18? Anybody got more than 18 children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren? Who won? Well, when you're getting cookies for all of them, it's not a bad thing. Why don't we give Brother White a hand clap? I know who our newest father is, because that just happened yesterday morning. And Brother Brian Caspitas. And so I recognize that. And I was thinking, I wonder who, and I don't mean oldest by the sense of age, but like has the most in children, grandchildren. So 18, that's pretty odd. I think that deserves another round of applause. We have something for all the, if you are a father, stepfather, guardian, foster parent, father, I want you to come up and just kind of stand along the steps here. It's not coffee, by the way. It's just in a coffee box. So my lovely assistant is going to, come on up. We have just a small token of appreciation for you this morning, just something from that. Yeah, turn around and face the audience. He's back right up to the steps. I know we're all males. We don't follow directions very well. What father or male figure cannot use another tool, huh? And since fathers we're supposed to be able to fix stuff. My kids have the idea that I can fix absolutely anything, which is not the case. But I like that they think that way anyhow. But we wanted to give you a small token of appreciation from First Apostolic Church. Why don't you give them a round of applause and thank our fathers? Why don't you give them a standing round of applause, a standing ovation? Might I say this in parting? It is obvious if you do a little research, you do a little study, you will find that it is the absence of fathers. It has caused a lot of what we deal with in society today. So might I charge you men this? If it is the absence of fathers that causes a lot of the problems, let it be the attendance of us as spiritual fathers that fixes a lot of it. I may not be able to fix it in the world, but I can fix it in my own family, and I can make sure I am being the father example, that I am playing the role that God would have me play in regards to my own family. Amen? God bless you. Happy Father's Day. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. Remember, there is no PM service tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.